Trust you now with our minds opened to your word and your spirit leading us in this study. In Jesus' name, amen. Good news from Babylon, part two. Part two. In the first sermon, and this is just a two-part series, in the first sermon, we pointed out the fact that we found it interesting, peculiar, and messaging that the two greatest prophetic books in Scripture are both written by people in captivity, Daniel and Revelation, written by John, who was a prisoner on Patmos. In fact, as we got into the study, we learned that such a context is not accidental. For the very fact that the two great, listen to me, prophetic books of the Bible are written by folk in captivity says to us that in our worst moments, God still speaks to us. I like your response. That was encouraging to me. That was the first thing we learned in the sermon last week, which I gave for the early service. And then we learned, number two, that the fact that God speaks to folk in trouble is applicable to us because we, like Daniel, are in our own Babylon. Can I get a witness? You may not know you live in Babylon, but you do. The confusion, the disdain for right, the utter ignoring of righteousness and moral principle is our Babylon of today, and we live in it, do we not? Number three, we learn that as Daniel and his friends were surrounded by the trappings of a godless society, we are also surrounded. Recent figures indicate now that barely 45% of the people of this nation consider themselves to be Christian. 13 years ago, the figure was 58%. So now, for the first time in history, Pastor Marley, the United States is no longer by practice technically a Christian nation. There are more people, Anwar, practicing other faiths than Christianity. I don't think you should be comfortable with that. And as we pointed out last week, it then says, Sister Deshay, it says that as Ellen White predicted, she says, the world we did not get done in the light, we must now do in the darkness. The darkness of unbelief, the darkness of faithlessness. We learned, number four, in the sermon last week that chapter one of Daniel begins the history of Daniel's friends in their time of trouble. But we said, and I say this, and I'm going to be saying this regularly until I leave, and that is the fact that, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not noticed, you have to be living with your head stuck in the sand if you haven't noticed that we are now living in the beginning of the time of trouble. Just read your Bible. Ellen White called it the early time of trouble. We're there. In other words, things have not totally fallen apart, but would you agree with me? They're on their way. And one of the signs that we see that is most disturbing to me is, and Ellen White speaks of this, is the increased inhumanity of man toward man. Violence without reason. And then we learned, number five, in the sermon last week, that in Daniel 2, God speaks even to people in high places. The vision of the image you see on the screen, the vision of that image was to a heathen. Come on, y'all. And we took time to glorify God last week and to give him thanks that God sits in the secret councils of the mighty. Trump may think he's meeting with his cabinet, but holy angels are there. Come on, somebody. The United Nations may gather with all of its potentates and pomp and circumstance, but sitting unseen in the chairs of the United Nations are holy angels sent by God, keeping their... John saw them hold back the winds, he declared, keeping back the results of the stupidity of man until God is ready. In fact, the Bible is clear, until the saints are sealed in their foreheads. Could somebody say amen? So we gave ourselves a sense of peace. God has not turned this world over to idiots. You better sleep better tonight. He says, I will not do that. I will not do that. Now, number six we learned, and that's the thrust of my sermon today. So I didn't spend time on it last week. Now I'm going to dwell on it, suck on it, preach on it. Here it is. Babylon is not something you get out of. Babylon is something that you live through. You see, ladies and gentlemen, maybe you didn't notice, but Daniel died in Babylon. See, when God showed him that image, we know about it. It was a prediction of things to come, was it not? The gold head represented Babylon itself. You've read it. We're not really preaching on the image today. It's a base to get started. The shoulders and chest of silver, that was Medo-Persia. The belly and thighs of brass, that was Greece, and the legs of iron were Rome, and the feet of iron and clay, that was the 10 divisions of Rome. We know about that. Daniel was shown that. And one thing, Pastor Griffith, that must have hit Daniel's mind was this. This image is going a long way down the line. Where do I fit in? Now, I took you back to Jeremiah 25. I won't read it today, but let me just remind you. Remember, when Daniel was a young man, a teenager, he heard the old prophet Jeremiah say they would be in Babylon how many years? Who knows? 70 years. Somebody paid attention last week. Praise God, you did. You listened for 5 minutes. You got that 70 years. And so now that he's been taken to Babylon, he's counting on the 70 years. But as he listens to the image, Daniel gets a feeling, wait a minute, this thing is going much longer. And then he gets the vision, remember, in Daniel 8 of the 2300 days. Come on, Adventists. And he understands that's 2300 years before the sanctuary is cleansed, and he thinks God's talking about the earthly sanctuary. And now he's really upset. That's why Daniel 9 is there. He prays that long prayer, pleading with God, don't change your mind. Don't keep us here in Babylon for 2,300 years, God. And by the way, Lord, I'm just only 18, 19 myself. I'd like to go back home. See, there's a lot of Babylons you won't get out of, but you'll get through. Let me explain. See, the person with cancer, you may die from cancer. Cancer's your Babylon. But while you have that cancer, you will experience deliverance. Deliverance from fear. Come on, somebody. Deliverance from doubt, huh? Deliverance from a lack of peace. See, while Daniel was in Babylon, he did experience deliverance, come on, from the fiery furnace, deliverance from the lions. He experienced deliverance, but he never left Babylon. Is anybody paying attention to this sermon? Because I'm coming right at you. There's some things you're praying to get out of. God's only going to provide a way through, but while you're going through this, there's good news from Babylon. Where I am, there you will be. I will not leave you nor forsake you while you're in Babylon, but you're going to stay in Babylon. I think I'll say amen for myself. Amen. That was good, Henry Wright. That was good. That lifted my heart. Yes, sir. So there's something interesting going on here. The vision has been portrayed. Daniel now knows it's going to be a long while. So now, Avondale, his concern is not about getting out, but getting through. See, stop praying these prayers to get out of that bad marriage. Just get through tomorrow. I didn't hear any amens. Yeah, that boss you worked for who has no sense, who does not respect you, who doesn't give you credit, you may not get that transfer to another job or another place, but God will get you through Monday. Come on, somebody. Because in the, see, Daniel's experience represents the time of trouble. And the only thing you need in the time of trouble is strength for the next day. So the good news out of Babylon is that God has moved there. God lives in Babylon. Turn to somebody and say, God is here. Yeah, because this is Babylon. Tacoma Park is Babylon. So that's why he tells them in Jeremiah 29, if you call upon me in Babylon, I will hear you. If you seek me in Babylon, you will find me in Babylon. I've said it to this congregation before. Let me say it again in this sermon. See, there's a reason why you were born when you were born. You were born in the last days because God said Henry Wright has last day DNA. If you're born in the last days, it's because God believes you can live through the last days because he never puts more on you than you can bear. So if you are born in this time of idiots, it means you're a person who can sustain the idiots around you. I wish somebody would give God a hand. Mighty God we serve. Your birth time was no accident. God put you here, and then, Trevor, he put all down in your DNA, strength for people who can't drive on the freeway, strength for people who don't treat you right in the neighborhood. Otherwise, you would not be here. I think I'm liking my own sermon right now. This thing is full of truth. Isn't this thing full of truth? Yes! The old folks say it's the truth anyhow. Now, Jesus, commenting on the last days, said in Luke 21, when you see these things, look up. Notice he didn't say, get out. He said, look up. Because I'm coming where you are. See, if you forget everything about the sermon today, just remember this. Some of you are in Babylon to stay. That needs to sink in so you stop wasting your prayers on stuff he ain't gonna do. He gives you strength to bear it, not get out of it, bear it. Bear it! I stopped praying years ago that the Lord would heal my lungs. So I wouldn't have to preach with pain. I finally got it. I'll help you preach with bad lungs. And I'll ease the pain. But you're going to have bad lungs, and you're going to hurt when you get done preaching. And you know what? I didn't found peace in Jesus. Yes, sir. Get on up, do the best I can, knowing that God can take care of, because he does not promise us a way out. He specializes in giving God's people what they need to get through. The old folks, what's that song? I'm going through. Anwar, yeah, we got to sing that before I leave. I'm going through. Yes, sir. We got to sing it Baptist style. I'm going through. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, let's keep going. Keep going. In our key verse, brethren, put Daniel 12:1 on the screen, because I want them to see this word. You see it? Everybody's reading. Come on. At that time, Lacey did a good job with it. Come on. At that time, Michael, that's Jesus, shall do what? And the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Now look at that. See, feast on the words. What is Jesus now doing? Come on, he's watching you. His eye is on the sparrow. Read on. And there shall be a time of trouble. What kind? Nicole, there's no previous experience we can compare it to. See, that's why you're so special. God let you be born when it's going to be worse than it's ever been. Oh, you must be special. Look at you. I tell you, I'm just so proud of you. Born in the worst time. That means you must be the best people. Oh, I love you. I love you. I'm glad to be a part of you. We the bestest of the bestest. God saved us for the worst thing the devil would do. And then he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. That means you cannot lose. Come on, give God some glory. You cannot lose. And then in case you didn't get it, it says, even to that time. Then read on. Come on. And? Nah, you don't need the rest of it. What's going to happen to you? Delivered. See, there is a getting out, but it's at the end of time on God's schedule. So follow it now. God gives you the strength to go through. Now, you may die before you get out. Yeah. Now, Latar, you got to grab that young lady. You and that little son of yours. God's going to give the strength to get through, child. And then when he's ready, he's going to deliver. Now, it's easy to say amen to that. Sitting in this church. But when all Hades, can't say that other word in the sermon, but when all Hades breaks out, that's when you got to find out if you're willing to accept God's approach to your life, which is just to get you through when you want out. I keep hammering that point because it's the thrust of my sermon. I'm saying to you, folks, that in the last days, we must change our prayers. See, if God has permitted it, then he wants you in it. Because, you see, there's more going on here. There's more going on here. Well, let me show it to you. You recall, after the Daniel 2 experience, then God begins to demonstrate to them how he's going to see them through. Remember when they got done with that vision, explained it? Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, ain't nobody like these brothers. And he promoted them. Remember that? Yeah. Seeing them through, not out. Seeing them through. And then in Daniel 3, when them brothers stepped out of that furnace, Didn't even smell of smoke. I wish somebody would give God some glory. Didn't even smell of smoke. Nebuchadnezzar said, I've not seen it on this wise before. He's not totally converted yet, but he does say, if anybody speaks against their God, I'm going to take him out. He's progressing. He's not where he needs to be. I'll still take you out, but it's going to be over there, this real God. But now, remember chapter 2, he's taking everybody out. Now he's just taking out those who are against Daniel's gods. He's making progress, Jim. And then in Daniel 6, when he walks out of there, those lions, and Darius said, your God is the only God. You see the progress? So all through, God keeps demonstrating, Anwar, I'm with you. I'm going to see you through. You're still in Babylon. Every time anything happened, in spite of the glory of God, when Daniel woke up the next morning, he was still in Babylon. Some of the trouble you're in, God will not remove. He will just stay with you. The problem is that acceptable to you? Is that acceptable to you? Do you trust God enough with your life that you've reached the Job level of relationship? Though he slay me, yet I trust him. And this stuff has got to be more than a sermon we say amen to. It's got to be who we are, how we live. We will learn to smile through tears. In fact, when you read, Daniel and his friends were never allowed to escape or avoid a faith test. Simple sentence. God ain't taking nobody to heaven he can't trust. Nobody. And you will prove yourself here, or you will stay here. Isaiah 43:1-3. Let's put it up there, brethren. Isaiah 43:1-3. Isaiah 43:1-3. We got help? In the sermon notes. Ah, yes. I love the way these prophets talk. Let's read it together. Come on. But now, everybody, but now, thus saith the Lord, who created you. Now, that's a statement of ownership. See, God is saying, before I make my statement, understand, I made you, therefore I know what you can take. See, he's making a light jab. He's saying, I'm going to make a statement, but you need to understand, the one talking knows every corpuscle of your body. Read on. O Jacob, and he who formed you. Now, the word form there in the Hebrew is not about creation. It's about I have shaped you to this point. First, I made you, then I've shaped you. So everything you've gone through, I know about. Every wrinkle on your skin, I allowed. Every failure, I understood. Every success was my strength. I have formed you. See, I've shaped you. Hey, as I stand here this morning, I've been shaped by God. Now, because of that, listen to him talk. Start with fear not. Read it. Fear not. Now, you know, in heaven, you're going to get a new name. So there's a name they use in heaven about you, you don't use down here. He's already named you. And the wife says, the name is based on your experience. All right, I'll preach on that another time. Now, next verse. Come on. Having trouble with this, with Isaiah, I guess. All right. Go back. You're in Luke. I need Isaiah. All right, here it is. Let's read. Come on. When you pass. No. Whoa. When you do what with the waters? Now, notice. Not get out. Not get to the shore. When you pass through. Do you see it, folk? You're going through the water. Now, I'm scared to death of deep water. So he's saying to me, that's all right, right? I'm going to get you through it. Woo! Come on. And through the rivers, read on, they shall not overflow you. That means you ain't getting out. You just ain't going to drown. Do you see it?
Yes.
Do you see it?
Yes.
Read on. When you
fire,
you're not getting out of the fire. Is anybody listening?
Yes.
You just won't get burned.
Yes.
Up. You see it, my brother? Read on. Nor shall the flame scorch you. Didn't say it would make you hot. Just won't scorch you. See, every trial involves some form of inconvenience. Otherwise, it ain't no trial. And so the devil arranges on that Sabbath that very sister in church whose very voice gets on your nerves, she's a greeter that Sabbath. Let's read the next verse. Come on. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom. He's now saying, I have a right to treat you that way because I own you. Stop praying prayers to the Lord saying, I can't take this. If you couldn't, it wouldn't be there. The prayer should be, Lord, you know me. Give me the strength to go through. Closing part of the sermon. One of the things I mentioned in the sermon last week, I must mention again this week. Why then all of this trial and stress developing us so forth and so on? It's because of what I said earlier in the sermon. You see, brothers and sisters, the Lord God in heaven is irritated with his church. And the irritation is, Avondale, we have not done what we were assigned to do. The Lord did not bring them to Babylon just to go through trials. There was another purpose. Let's look at some passages of Scripture, and then we're ready to go home. Daniel 2, 46 and 47. Daniel 2, 46 and 47. Here it is. Read. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. Next verse. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. What's going on here? In the midst of trial and tribulation, God still required Daniel in his time of trouble to witness. You see it, Trevor? They've been taken from home. The language is different. The clothes is different. They can't eat the food. And you would think that would be enough stress for these believers. But no, God says, I don't care what you're going through. If I've kept you alive and given you the strength to get through, it's because I need you not to just cry and beg and plead. I need you to stand up and be a man and woman of God and let somebody see that. You've been kept alive to witness for God. Nebuchadnezzar is deeply moved. He's a heathen. He worships Marduk. They burn people at the stake as an act of righteousness. And God is saying, Daniel, I know it's rough. I know you got a lot on you, but I still need you to be a shining example of my word. And Daniel, look, it's working. Look at what Nebuchadnezzar is saying. That's why you're on that job with that crazy boss. God says, I need somebody to show this idiot who's running this business. There's somebody who's got the backbone, the character. Thank you, God. Daniel 3, verse 29. Go there. Therefore, them boys have come out of that fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar's mind is blown. Read what he says. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything against the God. Now notice, he ain't calling him my God yet. He's not a baptized Seventh-day Adventist, but he's moving from his other church. He's thinking about it. Read on, shall be cut in pieces. Ain't righteous yet, he ain't holy yet now. Neb, we don't do that, you know. We don't do. Well, grow in grace. You got to accept folks where they are. At least he knows there's something else he ought to be doing and believing. He's still got a switchblade, but that's all right. Deacons, let him in. You gotta be a witness. There are people out there who don't get it. They haven't seen people who love in spite of. They don't know people who give 10% of their income to God in faith. They don't know people who don't eat certain things. God needs you around them. Yes, it's Babylon, but God lives in Babylon. He'll walk by your side. He'll give you the right words. Let's go to Daniel 6, 26 through 27. Brother spent all night with a bunch of lions. Has no scars on him. Don't even smell like a lion. Darius says, bloom. Here's Darius. Let's read. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Notice. The one text is the God of Shadrach. See, he hadn't been baptized yet. So it's not his faith. It's their faith. But I like their faith. Read on. For he is the living God. Oh, come on now. He done got the first doctrine. He's ready. He's got the first tenet of the baptismal vow. Darius has got it. I believe there is a God, one God. Come on, Darius. Keep on taking Bible studies. He's going to baptize you next week. For he's the living God. Read on. And steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. Woo! Darius is almost ready to be a deacon. Yes, sir. Why? Because some Seventh-day Adventist named Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I will not bend. I will not bow. You can toss me in a den of lions. I'm going to return my tithe anyhow. Good news. Coming in from Babylon, I'm done. Good news. Good news. Good news. My brothers and my sisters, as we stand on the edges of the time of trouble, Are you listening to me? Some of you sitting here right now are facing serious times in your life. I know you are. Some of you are sharing with me and talking to me. My heart bleeds with you. And as a pastor, yes, you always want to get your members out. But the news today is God's going to see you through. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. But you may have to bear a few more days in Babylon. So where he leads, I will follow. Are you with me, church? There's some rough days ahead. Young lady, there's some rough days ahead, but that's all right. God's your buddy. Aren't you glad to have God as your buddy? Jesus as your sidekick. The Holy Spirit is your best. Are you thankful for the presence of God? Because we live now in Babylon. We live in no way out, but good news is the way through. And so by his grace, I'll follow him. Where he leads me, I will follow. Bow your heads. Bow your heads. Let me just pray for you. Oh, Lord, these precious people. Precious. Oh, so precious to me. I love my congregation. And I'm lifting them up before you. I think of Sister Sonia Walters, who's not here today, but her family is surrounded by issues. Think of Don and Salika Black. Just over a year ago now, he had that terrible stroke. 3 strokes in the back of his head. They've been through a lot, but this past week you gave her a job. Not out, but you're going to get her through. I think of Sister Verna Forbes. The doctors have said the chemo no longer works. But she told me the other Sabbath, that's all right, Pastor. I don't need chemo, I need Jesus. He'll see me through. Brother Yash Takata, recovering from his stroke, but his spirit is strong. These are people, Lord, who have said, I'm going through. Where he leads me, I will follow. On and on the list can go. What about you, friend? What about you? Would you just join with me in a special request to God right now that he'll give you the strength to go through. If you want that, just raise your hand. Keep your head bowed. Just raise that hand. Let God see it. The hand says, Lord, I want strength to go through. I see now from the pastor's sermon, you may not get me out, but you can get me through. I have to go through the waters, but I won't drown. I have to go through the fire, but I won't get scorched. Hallelujah! Have to bear my cancer, but I won't lose my faith. Put your hand down. Before I close, somebody today wants to say yes to Jesus. You've been thinking about it. Pastor makes appeals, Sabbath after Sabbath. You've been right on the edge, coming down, presenting yourself for baptism or Bible study. Or just to transfer and become a real part of this church family. If you're here today, won't you come? And Anwar, if you can, just sing that verse and chorus.
I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoever my lot may be.
You can come. You're praying, folks.
Where thou goest,
God's Spirit will speak to someone.
I will follow. Bring them. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake,
church,
be rough and thorny,
if there anyone here who can make a decision. We want to do it today.
As the foaming sea, thou hast trod this way before me, and I'll gladly follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me.
Join him in singing the chorus. Everybody, I will follow. Singing.
I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake me, by thy grace I'll follow thee.
Amen. The last sentence of Daniel 6:27 says, and his dominion shall endure to the end. We are a temporary people hitched to an eternal God. May the Lord give you the strength to go through. There is good news from Babylon. God bless.